Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Today, I speak to you as a writer and as one very passionate about the arts. This is an axe to grind. Certainly others grind the same axe, but I am amongst the ones who never shut up about it. It's very personal with me. I am talking about editing movies and repeat television episodes, something we grew up on, something we've seen for years. That is, editing them to allow extra commercials, thus sustaining the greed of station owners and executives who care less about the quality of the art and more about their wealth. Now, I would be here all day if I shared every example I remember. So instead, I'm going to illustrate with just three of my favorites, one very familiar television series episode, and two movies, blockbuster movies. The television series, no surprise, Star Trek, the original series, even Star Trek's The Trouble with Tribbles, a favorite episode amongst fans, and within the handful of all comedy Star Trek episodes, they didn't make too many of those, but a few, Captain Kirk is interrogating Scotty, who had been sent down on a space station to watch over all Enterprise officers on shore leave, making sure they never got into any skirmishes with Klingon officers on shore leave at the very same space station. Naturally, a big brouhaha of a fight broke out. Anyway, Captain Kirk is now interrogating Scotty. He wants to know who started it. Scotty, in no hurry to reveal what truly happened, talks about how at first, one of the Klingon officers kept insulting Captain Kirk, who wasn't there. He wasn't down there with them. But he's insulting Kirk in front of his men, calling him, among other things, a tin-plated dictator with delusions of godhood. Ensign Chekov wanted to punch that nasty old Klingon for insulting the captain, but Scotty, of course, stopped him, as he had been ordered to keep the peace. Finally, Kirk learns the entire story. He gets it out of Scotty. This very same Klingon, seeing he could get Scotty's goat no other way and realizing that Scotty is chief engineer, this time insults not the captain of the ship, but the ship itself. We like the Enterprise. We really do. That sagging old rust bucket is designed like a garbage scow. Half the squadron knows it. That's why they're learning to speak Klingonese. So Scotty's relaying all this back to Kirk. Nothing like Kirk's response. I see. And that's when you hit him. Aye. So you hit the Klingon after he insulted the ship. Not after, well, sir, this was a matter of pride. Probably one of the most clever and hilarious scenes ever shown on Star Trek in what was, once again, a fan favorite episode. I'll never forget the time I was watching a rerun one Sunday afternoon. They cut that scene. They went out of their way to cut the favorite scene, or if they didn't know it was the favorite scene, they sure should have. They ended with the fight on the space station, went to commercial break. When they resumed, they had leapfrogged ahead in the story. Of course, that's nothing like watching The Office on Comedy Central. They cut the episodes to make more time for commercials, and one of the constant recurring commercials is a reminder that Comedy Central shows The Office every day. Oh, so glad they cut the episode to tell me that. How else would I have known that Comedy Central shows The Office while in the middle of watching The Office on Comedy Central? On now to the movies. My favorite movie of all time, The Sound of Music. A flawless movie. I know men aren't supposed to like musicals. I love them if they have a good story. This was a blend of well-written dramatic dialogue with its share of humor, beautiful scenery, excellent music, obviously, romance, and in as much as the story was about the Nazi occupation of Austria, one of the most exciting climactic endings ever to grace the screen. And it needs to be seen on the big screen. Nothing replaces that feeling of seeing the curtain curtains slowly open as they used to do in those days, as the camera pans over the Swiss Alps while we hear the wind blowing. It's really a travesty to have to watch this movie on television at all. I know, television sets are bigger these days and shaped more like the movie screens, but still, there's nothing like the theater. Be that as it may, when ABC showed The Sound of Music back in those days before people had VCRs, when they showed it the first few times, they at least showed it uncut. They put in commercials, but they extended the time they showed it uncut. But finally, as the years developed and they wanted this to be an annual tradition, they did develop a special edited version. Oh, happy days are here again. This movie of 3 hours in the theaters was shown 3 hours with commercials on ABC. To accomplish as much, an entire half hour was cut, but not whole scenes, just little snippets from many scenes, almost every scene, robbing us of the heart, the cleverness, and the charm of the story, thinking we're so stupid that as long as we still see the scenery and hear the music, nobody will notice. One would think they'd have just kept with the tradition of showing the movie an extra half hour every year, allowing them to include the same amount of commercials, but still leave the classic motion picture unscathed. But whoever suggested that at the network board meeting was probably demoted, maybe even fired. My wife always asks how I can possibly remember this kind of stuff, but I love the arts and I believe there is a certain integrity called for in the arts, not the least of which is refusing to massacre a film in the editing room. That's why I take notice. It's like painting a mustache on the Mona Lisa. Of course, these days, nobody would bat an eyebrow at a female painting being transformed into a male painting, but we won't go there right now. Anyway, as I said, The Sound of Music is my favorite movie of all time, so naturally, I am familiar with the dialogue, and an alarm goes off immediately when it is cut. Once again, instead of removing entire scenes, they kept every scene but ruined many of them with shorter versions, sometimes cut in ways where the dialogue is no longer saying what it says in the original. Here's an example. Julie Andrews as Maria the governess is with the Von Trapp children on a beautiful mountaintop in the Austrian side of the Alps. Now, different children are conversing with her. I can't do justice to the different voices, but the different children are, it starts with Louisa, and then one of the male children, Kurt, and then Brigitte and Liesel, but I'll just read the back and forth, starting with Louisa. Fräulein Maria, can we do this every day? Don't you think you'd get tired of it, Louisa? I suppose so. Every other day? I haven't had so much fun since the day we put glue on Fräulein Josephine's toothbrush. I can't understand how children as nice as you can manage to play such awful tricks on people. Oh, it's easy. But why do it? How else can we get Father's attention? Yes. Oh, I see. Well, we'll have to think about that one. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. Here is the exact same scene edited by ABC. It starts with the first piece of dialogue. It ends with the last piece of dialogue. And that's all the dialogue. Fräulein Maria, can we do this every day? Well, we'll have to think about that one. Other scenes just like that were also cut so that anyone familiar with the movie became more depressed than entertained. But I've saved the best for last. Ben-Hur, also on my top 10 favorite films of all time list, there's a pivotal, very pivotal portion of the movie where Judah Ben-Hur, played by Charlton Heston, has been unfairly accused of insurrection and sentenced to life on a Roman galley ship. During a battle, he saves the Roman admiral's life. He had fallen into the ocean, Judah dove after him, and the two of them were adrift on some broken wood, using it as a raft. Eventually, they are spotted by a Roman ship, at which time the admiral is informed that while his own flagship went down, they did indeed win the battle. He spares Judah from returning to the galleys. There's even a great line. He says, "In his eagerness to save you, your God has saved the Roman fleet." But again, Judah does not have to return to the galleys. In the next scene, we see a grand spectacle parade in Rome, a hero's welcome in the presence of Emperor Tiberius himself. The admiral is in the parade. Judah is riding in the chariot with him. The admiral Quintus, at the end of the parade, presents himself, pleads on behalf of Judah Ben-Hur, explaining his innocence, explaining how he owes his life to the man. In the next scene, Tiberius summons Quintus back, it's the next day, and tells him the imperial senate decided to give Judah to him as a slave to do with as he pleases. This is the whole major crucial turning point of the the story. Quintus decides to free him and adopt him. Okay, TV version. We see Judah rescue Quintus from drowning, but nothing else. We don't see their adrift raft found by another ship, or the parade, or any scene with the Emperor. They just jump to later in the movie, after Judah had been freed and adopted. Now, what complete and total idiot made that cut? Assuming that any cut had to be made at all, that was the edit? That? Who makes these decisions? Who hires people who make these decisions? Who in the world would be watching that for the first time and have a clue as to what actually had gone on? Well, thankfully, we can now watch our favorite movies complete and uncut on Blu-ray or DVD. Of course, those too are on their way out, replaced by streaming services so that we don't own them on our bookshelves anymore. And on the stream, they sometimes have the movies you want, they sometimes don't. Somehow, knowing my favorite movies are safe on the internet where they will remain until or unless China or Russia or some 16-year-old kid in the basement crashes us off the grid, makes me want to hold on to my private DVD collection. In fact, my house in San Diego is the only Blockbuster left in town. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.